Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of I Dig Your Soul podcast with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 5th of February, 5:30 in the morning. I know all around the world, because I get even from Australia sometimes, and I realize that they're listening at the end of their day. So it's kind of weird, you know, when you hear somebody else just starting their day, but it's, yeah, time is relevant and irrelevant at the same time, right? So anyway, it's really cool. Like, I love listening to you in the evenings. I'm like, oh, wow. But that was why I wanted to do 5:30. There were two reasons. One, I knew that I would always be home at that time. And now with COVID, I'm always home at any time. But going past that, I knew I could cover the furthest time zone in the same day. It's just so interesting how that works. But anyway, just to say hey to everybody who's out there. Thank you for listening. So today is Questions Friday. I keep calling it Questions Friday. We changed the name. They wanted me to change the name. Ask Nadia. So here we are. I got a question from Liam asking me what the difference between compassion and forgiveness, or forgiveness and compassion, is. And the two couldn't be farther apart in energy, yet come out with the same outcome. Because anything that comes from love will only propel. So I took this question really seriously, because sometimes we may think in our minds, I want to do the compassionate thing and I'll forgive them. But it's not the compassionate thing. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness in itself is a healer. Compassion in itself means you have healed enough to know you can help, propelling energies. But to forgive, we have to have gone through a lot inside. That broom better have been sweeping really well when it comes to our anger and our resentment towards another person. Because forgiveness takes a lot of getting rid of the revenge, the I'll show them, the I'll hurt them and make them regret this, all the different tentacles of anger, and that resentment where I'll never talk to them again. They will never get away with this again. If you're thinking any of that, there's no way you're going to get to forgiveness. That's why Christ said forgiveness is a healer, because it heals. It heals you. It puts your anger in perspective. Like, yeah, I was upset at that, but, you know, I've done that before. Boy, I really hate it coming at me. It was much easier to throw it out and walk away upset and dump and throw up my anger on another person. But, boy, it stinks coming back. But I get it. I was their age before. I was that person before. And if I'm going to come at them with anger and resentment, then that means I'm still that person. It wasn't a past tense statement. It's a present statement. The meaning of forgiveness is that in your heart you are willing and you understand why you are letting go of something. You are releasing it because you have the strength to release it. Then you have compassion, but really compassion is this deep feeling inside of us to help others that we feel are suffering. You can see past your own fear, your own hurt, your own trauma, your own resentments. And you can help because you have compassion. When we have compassion for ourselves, when we have it for ourselves, we see past our own hurt to not continue to hurt ourselves. So what would that sound like in our head? You know, hey, I know this hurts me. I know I can't fast forward it hurting me. I know that. But I'm not going to continue to hurt myself. Great example of compassion. It's someone who's trying to diet, self-compassion. It is super hard. I don't care what anybody says, to change our eating habits. Because most of the time, the routine of it, the comfort, some of us are comfort foodies, some of us are emotional eaters, some of us are unconscious eaters, some of us try to be conscious, some of us try to do better. But it's really hard. So instead of getting mad at yourself, you say things like, hey, this isn't going to be easy. I'm going to be so tempted to jump into that box of donuts. But if I do it, I've already taken my body this far. I've either helped it and have been eating well, or I've been hurting it up until today. And now I'm saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do this to you anymore. I have to give you a visual, but it's also with the words we say in our heads. Like, you idiot. That's the most common one when people tell me what they think. They say that, and I'm like, call yourself an idiot. I've called myself worse probably at points in my life. But now I don't even think like that. So when you learn to alleviate your own suffering, you will do that to others because you'll know how. And the reason I bring up the donuts, I have to tell you this story. My daughter is what moved this last week. She moved, you know, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So I was helping them. Did I include Saturday? I can't remember. No, I didn't. So it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So I was there. And, you know, I know it sounds crazy. When someone says they're going to move, everyone runs away or goes on a two-day vacation until it's over. But all their friends. But I run to that. I love the organization. I love helping. I've done it a lot being a single mom. I've had to move every time someone wanted to sell the house I was renting. However, it all worked out. I had to move a lot. So I have a lot of experience in moving. I know how to make it happen. So I'm there, and I ate before I went, and there was this box of donuts. And, you know, after a couple of hours of constantly moving, you'll eat anything. So I see it. It's covered, and it's these donuts that L.A. is actually very famous for called Randy's Donuts. They talk about it on the news, like, oh, wow, we got Randy's Donuts. So I'm like, wow, I never saw Randy's Donuts before. Because in my areas, they just didn't have Randy's Donuts. So here I am in their area, and they have Randy's Donuts. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to go take a look in that box. So I go, and I take a look in the box, and there's like, you know, seven different kinds. And it looks like someone with a knife went and took a bite out of almost each one of them to taste them. And so there was one like covered with powdered sugar in this jelly, and I was just, I could have probably eaten the box. So I looked at it, And I go, God, that I could do that, couldn't I? I have a great excuse. I'm hungry. I'm working. But I haven't had a donut in so long. What if I eat that donut? And then I thought, but there's so much sugar in it that then I'll want that sugar again. It's like almost like a sugar addict brain. But I knew that if I ate one, it would open up Pandora's box. So I walk away, and I'm doing my thing again, and, you know, now I'm, like, really getting to where I need something. And I did bring stuff, but it was super boring compared to what was in that box. So then I go back, and I lift up the thing, and I'm like, you know, I could just take a bite, just like that person did, get a knife and, you know, cut into it and just take a bite. And then I go, who am I kidding? Who could take a bite? Whoever did this took a bite of everything. And it was either my daughter or her fiance. And then I said, no, and I walked away again. And then I did go to my purse, and I did pull out my Kind Bar, and I did eat it, and it was good. And as I walked away from that box of donuts that tortured me, it was like, you know, I always say don't buy what you don't want to eat, because you'll walk around it like, you know, you're the predator and it's the prey. I was saying those things to myself in my head. God, I forgot that feeling of that torture, that draw to that really sugary fun. And probably if I ate it, and it would have been too sweet by now for me. But I was not up to taking that chance because I knew where it was going to take me. And as I walked away, I thanked myself. I thanked myself for not eating it. Because it would have taken away from me the minute I took that bite. It took a lot of years of getting myself away from those things that, as you get older, don't serve you well. I mean, sometimes when you're younger and you eat like that, okay, that works. But when you're older, your body needs, like, fuel, like good fuel. And so I did. I thanked myself. I was like, hey, that was not easy to do. And I almost fell into it. And then I tried to talk myself into it. Then I tried to talk myself out of it. And I went through this whole thing. But because I knew I was going to suffer for it, not just in having the bite of the donut, that isn't really the problem. The problem is perverting your taste buds into believing that much sugar is okay in your body. Because I do eat sugar, but I have it from fruits and from, you know, some things I make. I do it with less sugar. You would be shocked how much less sugar you need in a chocolate chip cookie, because the chocolate itself has a sugar in it. But when you take away that high level of sugar, it tastes the same. It's interesting. And, you know, unless you really test it, you would never believe it. The cookie doesn't taste any different to me than it did with all that sugar in it. But because I had compassion for myself, I also have it for others, in that I don't tell anyone else what to do. Because I understand that the way a personal feeling comes into play when someone eats is what I'm competing with, not with the actual food that they're eating. I understand it. I get it. But I had to make hard decisions so that I didn't have resentment or fear or hurt or trauma when it came to my health and my weight. So I say to my daughter, who she says, why don't you just have a donut? And I'd say, I can't have a donut, because if I have one donut, I'll have them all. or at least want to. A thing of Kentucky Fried Chicken, if someone gave me a bucket, I could eat the whole thing. How I feel afterwards might be another story. And it's chicken. You'd say, well, that's good, but the oils aren't. And it sounds like you're being picky, but when you get older, you've got to run a pretty clean ship. Because we're like a car. We used to use regular gasoline. Then we used unleaded. But the better the car, the more premium the gas you need. It's just the way it is. But having compassion to alleviate suffering is what is behind compassion. Forgiveness means you're ready to let go of angers and resentment towards someone or something. There was, I don't know if any of you remember the book, The Shack. They called it a fiction, but it was such a beautiful book of a deep sense of understanding and love. So there was an article, it was a Mayo article, and it stated that generally forgiveness is a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. In the book, The Shack, is this quote, "Forgiveness is not about forgetting. It is about letting go of another person's quote." I mean, think about it. When somebody throws something at you that's hurtful, it goes on in your head. You memorize it because it was so hurtful, you cannot let it go. Or their actions were so hurtful that you don't know how you could ever let it go. Forgiveness is a goal. Forgiving is a process. And that's what they say. So I go to Christ. And I say, what are we talking about when it comes to forgiveness for real? Because it's hard sometimes when somebody hurts your feelings. I mean, there's people I forgave them in my lifetime, but I had absolutely no desire at all to interact with them again. And the thought of it shakes my insides because what I witnessed was beyond. So how do we deal with that? So we say, well, you've forgiven them. You should be able to go on. You should be able to go back. But forgiving doesn't mean you forget the capability that someone was able to pull that on you, was able to hurt you and be okay with it. And then blame you for it and expect you to go back and pretend like it never happened. There's no way you could pretend like something never happened, so we can't forget. But other times when we know the person really didn't know what they didn't know, there was an element of purity there. Now we have something to work with. And we say, wow, had they known the truth, they would never have done that or told me that or said that. And that you can go back to, that you can work with. But if it's relentless and it just keeps coming, you have to make a decision. Psychologists say that forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or a group who has harmed you. Regardless of whether or not they actually deserve your forgiveness, it doesn't mean forgetting. And it doesn't mean condoning or excusing what they've done. It's a choice. It's a choice for you to release the things that got you in the place of having to forgive or not. But what is a compassionate person like? Because forgiving and making a choice is different than a part of your personality that has a component to it that is compassionate. Because I know a lot of great people who have forgiven before. But they're not compassionate at all. They're like, hey, everyone deserves what they get. I don't help homeless people. You only feed them once. And you can't feed them every day. And I'm like, oh, wow, you really think that? Well, yeah. I support groups that can create products. I support groups that can create education. And I'm like, oh, okay. I understand that. But a homeless problem is actually everybody's problem. And the avenue of feeding a homeless person, which would be compassionate, there are also other issues that we need to address, right? So we have this conversation where I say, if there's homeless people, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we have not dealt with mental health. The second thing that comes to my mind is that we have not dealt with addiction. I never think that homeless people don't have money or have families who don't have money to take care of them. Everyone comes from somewhere. But all the people that end up on the streets ended up there by, in many ways, either lack of societal support, lack of family capability and education, or legal limits. And there's absolutely nowhere to go. And the family themselves may be fearful of that person's capability because they cannot control it. Calling the police for their behavior doesn't help. They may hold them for 3 days, I think it's 72 hours, and then they go back home. And you're just as much at risk now as you were before they went. So the only difference was you got a 3-day break. So the compassionate side of me now understands, because we have that issue in my family. We have a schizophrenic. And, you know, I was so used to the behavior. I had forgiven the behavior. I had compassion towards her. And she blew up on my page. She's been blowing up on me privately. I blocked her from my phone. I blocked her from my emails. And then she had a second Facebook account. I accepted her friend request. I thought at least one of us has communication with her. And the things that I snapped, what is that called, screenshotted on my page, I kept. Because until I saw it publicly, I did not realize what I was dealing with. For some reason, in my mind, the compassionate part of me kept thinking of this person as a young child who didn't even know yet that this was coming on. I knew there were signs of something was off. I just didn't realize what it was going to grow up into. And now that person that I used to know, there's not much left. She can't live with her family. The feelings she has about them are not good. You're either a devil or an angel. They think you're the devil. I don't care how much compassion you have, you cannot allow that person in your home because you're sleeping with your doors locked, and when you walk out, we had an offense where she actually tried to kill her sister. Yeah, the police were called. Before that, they said, until they do something, we can't do anything and you can't help. But then when something happened, they put her away for 3 days and then just set her loose back. There isn't an understanding, yet there's a lot of compassion from the mother who wants to take care of her child. Well, now she has two children, and how does she take care of them both when something like that has happened? They tried to talk to her. They tried to reason with her. So we have to understand that we can forgive and release the resentment and the anger of what we've seen and done, because we do know a person cannot help it. And compassion for the family had to say, we have to make a decision here. Where can we put her? Well, we looked. And unless you have $1,000 a week, which was the cheapest facility we found, there's nowhere to go. Can you make them take medication? No, you can't. It broke my heart. But the compassionate part of me came out in a different way this last time, because I said to my sister, you know what? Don't know who this person is anymore. And if they are in a home, that home will eventually turn on them in their minds. It's super good in the beginning, and it's like filled with spirits and scary. It doesn't matter what the home is, because now we've seen this. We tried. We tried to support her in hotels. We did that for almost a year, believe it or not. It cost a lot of money, but it made no difference, because it happened to her in every hotel she went to. After about a month, there was bad things happening there. Mental telepathy things, people thinking things through walls, and just the walls were very hard for her to deal with. We had great compassion. We would take her out of one and put her in another. At first, we tried with apartments, but we couldn't keep putting down a security deposit and pay for a month and then have her gone. And buy furniture. She wanted, every time she needed new stuff, stuff that wasn't tainted. So we didn't know what the compassionate thing to do was when we try to alleviate someone's suffering. And we realized that if she moved on to a homeless shelter, she can keep moving. She didn't want to see us or hear from us. We were the opposite of her, whatever that meant. The compassionate thing left that I can do is pray for her. She won't let us help her. She won't let herself help herself. And whatever this is became all of her, not just some of her. And there's nowhere to go for help. We've done everything. We've researched everything. We have extended as much compassion as we have. But the way she sees the world, she's living in the world on her terms. But we don't think that, because our compassion says we want you in a home with a bed and with this and with that. But they don't see that. But because she can't forgive people, no one can share compassion or any other love or caring that we want to or we think we should be doing, or however it is it's playing out. It's been an extremely hard situation. But because there's forgiveness, because there's compassion, because we have tried, we feel we are doing our best, and that's the best that we've got for today. I know, Liam, you got on a little later, but start with the beginning of the show about the difference between compassion and forgiveness. You guys, I love you. Have a great weekend, and I will see you guys Monday morning. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the I Dig Your Soul podcast. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.